Okay, I'm Kate Nash.
You look exactly like her. So you're headlining the Fillmore. And there are a lot of artists that take years to do that. So do you think that you're on your way to conquering America, and is that a goal?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think that I'm really excited to be here. The venue is amazing. It's really beautiful. I don't know about conquering places. I think that I kind of... a lot of people talk about breaking America, and like, I don't really know what that means. Like, I don't really... I'm just happy to be here and be able to be traveling and touring and playing. You know, I started out in like pubs in Harrow, like where I'm from. And I wanted to be part of something fun and something creative and interesting and DIY. And now it's totally gone off the scale, and I'm like on a totally different, a different place I ever thought I could have ever been. But I try to keep those same ethics and that same spirit, because otherwise I think you lose... You know what I mean? You won't be able to write anymore. And I don't know. It's not for me to worry about breaking anything. That's for people who know about business and stuff like that. I just want to be here and meet people who've supported me for a while and haven't been able to see me. And it's just really cool to like... I mean, the audiences I've had are so supportive. So I'm excited about being here and coming back. And like, you know what I mean? It's really welcoming. Like, everyone's been really nice. So I'm really happy to be here.
On your MySpace site, you have the world's shortest little tagline. You say it's all homegrown. So isn't that the way music should be, real, not plastic?
As long as it comes from, you know, some kind of heart, you know what I mean? Not to be a cheese bag about it, but it definitely has to come from some kind of truth, like passion, like belief in something. Like, it doesn't matter what kind of music it is, what style, but it has to have honesty and it has to have some kind of goodness in it. And if it comes out and it's just kind of like... machine driven, and it's not there to... I think people want to be touched by something, and they want to feel it as well. Like, you want to listen to, like, my favorite bands, like, are people that I look to and I'm like, it's not just about the music, you know what I mean? It's about the idea and like where it comes from and like what it stands for. And it has to be more than just like, oh, I wanted to play music, so I wanted to get on stage and sing. Like, you can want to do that, but you have to be like, I wanted to like be part of this, I wanted to like be part of some kind of youth culture and change things, and like, this is what I think about society and this is what I don't like about it.
Your influences are so much fun on the website, so can you go through a couple of these with me? I think you could almost write a song with these.
Well, this is almost a poem, really. It's like, I can read it. Laura Dockhoy is my best friend. She's like amazing. I loved her when I was at school. I went to school with her, and she was so bright and like clever and creative and funny and stupid and childish. And I've written a poem about her, actually. It's called Pistachio Nut, and it's the B-side to Pumpkin Soup, and that's about her. But can I read it? Like,
sure.
See, okay, as the poem that it kind of is, but it's mixed with some bands and stuff. Laura Dockrell, London, storytelling supermarkets, Peggy Sue and the Pirates, beans on toast, cheese on toast, anything really that you can put on toast. Spaghetti bolognese, sitting on trains, leaning your head on the window so everything shakes. Politicians, pirates, ducks and knobheads, rude boys, Scargirls, the postal service, Regina Spektor, the young ones, Kermit the Frog, punk music, Kathleen Hanna, Tracy Chapman, Sunshine and X-Ray Specs, Wesley Good, simply the best, red faces caught in the act, anger, love, listening and Billy Bragg, misunderstandings, the 50s, the 60s, now and then, Tim Burton, way back when, my mum, my dad, Helen and Claire, some of my brain disappeared over there, think about it, don't, shout, scream and shout, sweat, dancing, stubbing toes, romance and cliches, daytime TV, me and my wife, we got married, Kimya Dawson, the Supremes, Josie Long and the Kinks, the Beatles, Joy Division, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Garage Beats, Nirvana, the most ugliest and disgusting feet you've ever seen, poetry, 80s Queens, Caroline, David Bowie, anything with Christmas in it, knitted jumpers, people's mothers, cancer and bats.
Now, much of your change in future career, you know, from becoming an actress was due to a rejection letter, for one thing, which, yeah, you know, must have been disappointing, but then, you know, falling down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
So just give me just a little brief history of what that was like, saying, uh-oh, I'm not going to be an actress, but where that little revelation came, saying, I took a little piano, maybe while I am kind of set up here, I'll learn to play guitar.
Well, I mean, I did piano from really young, and I always wrote songs, and I think gigs were something that I'd always dreamed about doing and always really been excited about doing, and I'd started... Like, my friend Laura actually was friends with the Maccabees, which is a UK indie band, and they're really good. And we'd started to go and see all their gigs and like together. And I was just going to more and more gigs. And because it was my year out and I like didn't want to get left behind, I had to do, like, my friends were at uni and college, and And I wasn't so, I spent a lot of time by myself, going to shows, going to see cabaret, going to see film festivals, going to see weird things like art exhibitions, like anything I could really get my hand stuck into. And like, it made me want to like, I wanted to perform, I wanted to be doing creative stuff, and I wanted to be part of something, and I wanted to be like, I don't know, I feel like I've been on the same, I'm on a mission, but it's just, I go through different mediums. Like theatre was the medium I wanted to express what I believed in, and now I was like, well, I've started to write, I was writing songs on the year out without thinking about it, because it wasn't like I was going, like before when I wrote songs, I was like, I want to try and write a good song, and then because I was concentrating on other things, I just wrote stories really. And I think that, you know, my dad had an acoustic, a battered acoustic in the house that I couldn't play. And then my mum, when I broke my foot, was like, okay, you're a bit depressed, because I was kind of feeling a bit like, this is just crap. Like, you know, when you feel like you're getting kicked when you're down, and like, and she bought me an electric guitar, a white one. And it was cool. Yeah, it was like, it was, you know, it's basic, my first guitar kind of thing. But I had an amp. I got a PV amp, and I thought it was really cool, because I was like, oh my God, I'm so technical with my amp. And like, and it just made me kind of go, right, okay, another year of working jobs and not really being satisfied. I was like, I'm just going to bite the bullet, really. And like, even if I'm really scared and nervous and I don't even know what a gig consists of or how to do that, or like how to plug in my guitar, like, I'll just book it anyway. And that's, you know what I mean? I think I've always been quite bullshy like that, like just kind of like, even if I don't really know what I'm doing, just run into it and go, oh, okay, well, I'm going to give it a go. Like, because I'm not really afraid of falling over.
You really are a DIY artist, and you have been from moment one. You put out your own record, you got your own manager, you put your music on MySpace all by yourself. You did all of that. And then you pressed, what, 1,000? You went to record in Iceland, of all places.
Yeah. Well, basically, I got this... I was really excited when I got this festival, Electric Gardens Festival, which is a really small festival in the UK, but I was really excited that we got there because the promoters wrote to me on MySpace. And through that, a guy from Record of the Day, which is a website, I think it's quite an industry thing, so I hadn't heard of it, but they choose, you know what I mean, a record every now and then that they like, and they say what you're up for, like what you need, whether you need manager, producer, radio, TV people, da, da, da. And he came to see me at the festival and said, I really want to put Little Red up there. And I was like, wicked. And he put it up, and the producer, Valgeir Sigurðsson, was the producer I worked with in Iceland, and his manager checked out Record of the Day and just kind of got us in touch and was like, yeah, well, you can come over like for free, you know, and like, just record and we'll try some stuff out. And I was like, okay, cool. And it was really, Iceland's amazing. I mean, it was the first time I ever worked with a producer, so to be honest, I had no idea what I was doing. I was just like, record, yay, like, and then Valgeir, and Iceland is a really nice place to go. It's really clean and like creative, and it's really cool, but it's not caught up in any way like some places like London. I think I love it, but it can get really caught up with trends and hipsters and stuff, and I think that doesn't happen in Iceland that much. And you know, even stuff like the volcanic rock, it looks like the moon, and like, it's not like anywhere it's the most foreign looking place I've ever been to. And like, the sand in the playgrounds is black, so it looks like Tim Burton-y. And like, we just spent some time out there and did a couple of gigs. I did a gig with Bjork's son in a bar, and he was in like some punk band.
And so you pressed 1,000 copies, then you sold those out, you pressed another 1,000. Next thing you know, you have a video on MTV2. And so let's skip a little bit. How did it feel when your second single, which was your first through the real label in quotes, that went to what, number 2? And so that's a pretty fast trajectory.
I know, yeah, it was really weird. It's still weird. It's still weird now, except that so much has happened in so quickly that it's like, I guess you get used to being a bit gobsmacked by stuff. I don't know. It was very weird. It was really extreme. And I was still in the studio. Like, I was still recording. I was still recording my album. And I'm like... And going, okay, number 2, like, what does that even mean? Like, the Spice Girls were in the top 10, you know what I mean? Like, proper pop artists and stuff get in the charts. And I was like, I didn't really understand if that was what I was, or like, you know what I mean? It certainly wasn't what I originally set out to do and be. And like, it was kind of bizarre. I mean, I thought my music was connecting with people, but to think that it actually transferred to that level, and that it definitely, you know what I mean? Sometimes it doesn't transfer. Like, you can feel like there's a buzz and people are supporting you, but it wouldn't transfer, and it actually did. And I was like, the people on MySpace who are saying, we like your music, we want to be part of you, actually do, like, are actually doing stuff. And it was really weird, like, finding out about my manager rang me at, like, 8 in the morning, was like, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And it was like 8, and I was like, okay, all right, see you later. I went into the studio, and then I was like, I don't really know. And then I got really excited about it with my friend one night. And
one of the things that was really fun for me to look at is all the covers. I recently had the Cribs on my show, and I know you've covered Men's Needs, which is pretty cool. And I, even more excited, you know, I play the Shangri-Las all the time, and you're doing some pretty, you know, I think that's an interesting thing that's going to surprise people. Yeah. Is that, and these, and again, it's like you said, these people are not with you because you're the hottest, coolest thing. It's because you've probably befriended them and you have a mutual admiration for your music.
I guess so, yeah. I think that, like, I've never been cool anyway, ever. I'm just not a cool person. So I wouldn't really, I don't think I get, like, in, I think, yeah, Billy Bragg is a real big inspiration for me, like, really big inspiration. He is obviously a hero. He asked me to sing on New England with him at a gig we did together, and I was so excited. And I mean, we did harmonies and stuff, and I sang one of his verses, and, like, I was so nervous, and he was just really casual and really cool, and then straight away stuck into, like, giving me advice and, like, wanted to kind of seek me out. And we'd met at a Q Awards, and we'd met a couple of times, and I think he kind of felt like, I don't know, I feel like Billy wants to kind of keep me, like, sane and, like, make sure, because he believes in what I do and likes my music and likes my attitude and thinks I could maybe, like, go on to being a bit, you know what I mean, maybe I could go down a political route or, like, a more outspoken route, but, you know what I mean, when I figure out exactly what I want to say. And I think he wants to help me, like, be able to articulate that and also just look out for me, which is so nice because I really respect him. I really respect him. I love his music. And I'm just really honoured and really excited to be able to be working with someone like him, because also he's really inspiring to see somebody that's been in an industry for so long and has survived and has kept their dignity and their strength and wisdom and has a family and, like, still writes songs and does gigs and talks passionately about things and hasn't, like, you know what I mean, hasn't been susceptible to the ugliness of it, really. So it's really nice to see that.
Did I read correctly that the next album is inspired in some way by the Supremes?
I am really into the Supremes at the minute. Like, I'm going for, like, a 60s vibe. Like, we've got this amazing drape, like, old Odeon curtain to use for the last show, like, backdrop, and we had, like, mirror balls, and I used, like, the Supremes as the intro, and I'm a bit obsessed with it. I love that sound. I love that Motown sound. I love how it sounds, like, hot, and, like, the vocals sound amazing, and I want it to sound, I don't know, I love that sound. So yeah, I guess it is going to be inspired by the Supremes, because, like, stuff back then was really cool, you know.
So we've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. Okay. And what it is two of your songs is the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.
Can you play a song that isn't on the album?
If I can get it.
But it's got bad language in it.
I can edit.
You can edit all of it. Then play my song Model Behaviour. Can you play Poems? Because you could play you could play my poem Pistachio Nut, which I wrote about my best friend Laura. And she's a poet as well.